Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great day so far and a good week. We are at, finally, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York. Gorgeous week ahead of us, beautiful weekend, which is even better for everybody. Hope everyone's got some good plans going on. And very excited to welcome onto the show tonight Lydia Magus out of Edmonton, Canada. And she should be on the line shortly with us, I believe. And so just a little bit about Lydia. She's the executive director of Valor Place Society. And, you know, as always, we always like to get as much information and background info firsthand from our guests. So hopefully she'll join us in the next couple of minutes here as we start the show. Just a little bit more about Lydia. So as the executive director, she's been there for 3 years already, and she has a background of business and nonprofit sector applications. And we really would like to get her on the line. So we're going to wait a couple more minutes, obviously.
Hello.
Hey, Lydia.
Hey.
Lydia, you there? All right. Yep. Great. We got you on finally. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome
to
the show.
You put me into a hold mode. Yes, thank you.
All right. No problem at all. How are you doing tonight? Okay?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Well, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, just to kind of get right into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what it is that you're currently up to?
Oh, okay. So a little bit about myself. I'm the executive director of Valor Place, which is a nonprofit organization based in Canada in Edmonton, Alberta. And basically, we're similar to, you know, a Ronald McDonald House, except we deal exclusively with military, RCMP, first responders, and the like when they need a place to stay in Edmonton. Kind of what Fisher House is based on down in the States.
Okay. Very nice. Now, what kind of got you into this? I mean, how did you end up here?
Oh, long story. I guess I was meant to be here in the end. actually, they were looking for a new executive director, and I was looking for something new to sink my teeth into, and we met, and it clicked. You know, sometimes it's the right fit, the right people at the right time, and that's
sure.
Kind of how I got here with that short notice.
But what were you doing before you got to that position?
I was operations manager of the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village Friends Program, which is also another nonprofit organization just outside of Edmonton here. The village is a provincial museum, and the Friends Association kind of do all the stuff that the province can't handle. So we were in charge of, you know, food services and summer staff, because they do summer interpretation of the it's an open-air museum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing before, and then has life changed, and you know, I had to move on because of physical restrictions. So I ended up here.
Very nice. Now, as far as that moment in your life when you kind of knew exactly what you wanted out of it and what you wanted to do, did you ever have that aha moment?
That aha moment? Yeah, actually, I was finally graduating with my Bachelor of Arts degree in Psych and Commerce, which took me, you know, extended period of time because I had four children in between. The person who was getting the honorary doctorate, Tim Broadhead, at that time, he was doing his speech, and he was talking about, you know, the Dr. Seuss book, All the Places You'll Go, and making a point of talking about making a difference with nonprofits and stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, hey, I've been working with all kinds of organizations, you know, growing up in Toronto and Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's what, you know, although it was a volunteer perspective I was working from, I said, you know, this is something that I can actually do as a profession, taking all my knowledge and all my skills and applying it in that perspective as opposed to just volunteering, which isn't bad either, but, you know, taking it up a notch, so to speak.
Sure.
And really making a difference where it kind of counts. So that was kind of my aha moment, and that's when I kind of started working towards, you know, working with volunteer programs and applying myself in that way.
Now, were there people along the way that kind of influenced you and helped you, you know, along your path here?
Not really. I mean, you kind of, as you meet people and you meet different organizations and you kind of know where you want to go just based on the people who are working there or who sits on the board kind of thing that you want
right.
to be associated with. You know, influenced my life kind of thing. I guess my parents, you know, a lot, you know, just that determination of, you know, and striving to do better of,
sure.
You can make a difference. You know, you need to make a difference, and you can always do better. And you know, a B wasn't good enough, and I know you could do an A kind of thing. So that kind of kept pulling me on.
Right, of course. And so, yeah. As far as the foundation of the society itself, now, how did this all come to be? I mean, you know, was it one of those things that, you know, it was very organic? You know, I'm just curious to know, you know, about, you know, the location and why it's there and everything in that nature.
Yeah, for sure. It was quite organic, I would say. It all kind of got spearheaded by Dennis and Doreen Erker here in Edmonton. Now, Dennis is a local businessman and very influential within the community, and he's also the honorary colonel of the Loyal Edmonton Regiment. And so they had just been working on the Compassion House fundraiser, and Compassion House is also kind of a temporary residence for women dealing with breast cancer who have to come into Edmonton to get cancer treatment. So their kind of aha moment was, okay, so I'm honorary colonel, and you know, there's nothing here for the military who have to come into Edmonton when they need a place to stay. You know, they're staying,
right.
You know, the family members are staying in hotels by themselves. They're dealing with this on their own. So we should have something like this in Edmonton. So he kind of spearheaded the group and got a committee together. This was back in January of 2010, and this kind of all started coming to fruition. And by October of 2012, they had raised over $10 million and officially opened the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was quite an ambitious undertaking. And they, you know, they had gotten in touch with Fisher House and kind of took the blueprints of that, seeing that they've had so many, you know, homes based down in the States and in Germany and the UK, and kind of just revamped it for Canadian standards, and here we are. There was initially an executive director who did the capital campaign, and then she stepped aside, and then they realized that yes, we still need someone to carry on, because you know, although we built the place, we still need to sustain it, and we still need to follow up with you know, fundraising and making sure that it's self-sustainable in the long run. So that's where we're working on now. We're working towards getting an endowment fund that's large enough that the house can sustain itself, and we don't have to keep going to the community and asking for more money and more money and more money.
Right. No, absolutely.
But you know, we get new houses built, you know, both here in Edmonton and across Canada, just because the need is so, you know, the need is so great.
Sure.
We're at capacity. We're a 12-unit, you know, the house has 12 units. It's got a central kind of living room, dining room, kitchen area where people can cook their own meals together. They can interact together. We have several rec rooms and dens that people can kind of have their own seats. But you know, as I said, our 12 units are full, and there is a demand to stay here.
And now, as far as the demand goes, so maybe you can share with people a little bit about a little bit more in depth about the exact services that you provide there.
Well, we provide a temporary home away from home, or as we like to say it, a hope away from home, for guests that require medical treatment in Edmonton. And our guests include Canadian Forces members, RCMP members. RCMP is our national police force here in Canada. Veterans that who serve both with the RCMP and with the Canadian Forces. Families of the fallen. And first responders, if there's really availability, and their family members or their family members who need a place to stay, you know, if they're here for treatments or for whatever their medical conditions happen to be.
Wow.
We've also had a few military people from Alaska who had to come down for treatments here in Edmonton and stay, you know, their family members stayed with us here. The guests who stay here do so at absolutely no cost whatsoever. We cover all their costs for their staying here. Yeah, you know, they'll buy their own food depending how long they stay here, but their accommodation cost here is absolutely no charge. And hence, you know, we have to raise funds to be able to sustain that because, as you know, any house, there's a lot of maintenance costs and cleaning and everything else. So.
Absolutely. And so, now, is everyone that works there then, is mostly to all volunteer then?
We have a very small staff. There is myself, who is a part-time position. Our house manager is full-time. We have an assistant house manager who is part-time. And then we have a full-time housekeeper who kind of just to make sure that everything's kind of tidied up and when people leave to, you know, clean the rooms and get it ready for our next guest. Beyond that, we've got about 50 volunteers who come in on a semi-regular basis, either to help out in the evenings or to cook meals, or sometimes we've got volunteers who are, you know, out there who are doing their shopping, kind of call in and say, hey, I'm doing shopping. Is there any of the basics that you need? Because we do provide, you know, milk, cereal, kind of bread. So when people come in an emergency, there are some basic staples here for them.
That's great. I mean, now when these people come into to the office and the location, are, you know, do they know, you know, what they're in for? I mean, do they know full well that this is the support that they might really need?
Pretty well, yeah. Because the people who come in, they have to come in with referrals. So basically, either their commanding unit or their commanding officers have. Or their health providers have made a request that they're coming into Edmonton and they need a place to stay. So at that point, you know, we kind of give them the lay of the land of, you know, you're coming here, this is what you can expect, and this is what you'll get kind of thing.
And now, are family and friends allowed to visit as much as necessary?
Oh, yes, yes. It depends on, you know, how it's needed. You know, those who are here, usually they're staying because their loved ones are in the hospital or they're doing or having some kind of treatment. So there's always someone with them who travels with them. So it's either a spouse or children. You know, we've had families who had to come in from Cold Lake, which is just outside of Alberta, which is one of our main military bases. And his wife was going through cancer. He was a military member. And so they kind of came down here with the children so they could spend 5 weeks together as a family while she went through cancer treatment. Otherwise, they would have to divide the children up amongst relatives and family and not see them for a good chunk of the summer. You know, not to mention if they had to stay in a hotel and still have mortgage payments on top of that. So it was...
Right.
They were really, really, you know, happy that they had this time to be together and not have to worry about, you know, the extra financial burden that they would have had to have.
Of course. Now, and for everyone that's just joining us, with Lydia Magus of Valor Place Society. Now, Lydia, why don't you share with people if there's like a contact or a website that they should check out? I mean, that would certainly be helpful.
Sure, yeah. Our website is www.valorplace, spelled V-A-L-O-U-R-P-L-A-C-E, .ca. And that's our website. Our phone number is 780-455-7707. You can always call us if you want to. Our website, you know, there's a whole bunch of information there of, you know, kind of what we do, who we are, and if you want to help, how you can help.
Very cool. Now, before we get into the next question, I was just curious. Why don't you let people know exactly the best ways to get involved? I mean, if they're in the area, do they have to be locally to you guys, or can we do things from across the country and really across the continent?
Oh, of course. There's always stuff that can be done. You know, those who are here can always contact us here. We've got, if you want to come in and kind of help out in the house, there's application forms that you have to do that just because we're dealing with, you know, vulnerable people. So we do have a screening process with volunteers. You know, if you want to donate, you can go online and donate money towards our endowment fund. It's the Family Endowment Fund so that we can sustain Valor Place, and those who do come can stay here for free. Alternatively, there's also a wish list on our website. So if there's something you have that you want to donate that's on the wish list, or actually we just had someone who had a whole bunch of air mile points and said, look, you know, I have these points. I'm never going to use them. What can you, you know, what do you guys need? What's on, you know, what's not on your wish list? That's a bigger ticket item kind of thing. So
right.
We just had that as well, because there's always, you know, houses with any house, you know, wear and tear and maintenance, you know, washing machines, dryers, you know, stoves, fridges. There's always something going on.
Of course. Absolutely.
You know, a little coffee. You know, coffee. It's amazing how much coffee we go through here, but, you know, it takes its toll on the poor little machine.
I'm sure. So, Lydia, as far as the obstacles that you find veterans and first responders facing, what would you say are the most frequent that you see?
Obstacles as in, you know, knowing who we are. I know there's all, you know, there's all kinds of medical conditions that people have, you know, accidents that happen. And the rehab process is long and whatnot. I mean, those are generally, you know, outside of our realm that we can deal with, or the treatment
right.
that we can provide. But we can provide them, you know, a very safe and secure home while they have to be here. There is, you know, a support network here for them as well if they want to use that. And I think the biggest thing is, because we're such a young organization, Valor Place is the first of its kind in Canada. People just aren't aware that we're here. So it's you know, making them aware, putting it out there, you know, within the armed forces and even within the RCMP, you know, there's a position rotation every 2 years. So you turn around and there's new people in command who don't know about us. So we have to,
right.
you know, keep re-educating them and or educating them, you know, for the first time kind of thing. But as word is getting out there, as I said, you know, we're quite busy. So now comes, the, you know, our challenge is to try and provide, you know, the services that we can and hopefully maybe, you know, extend that as well and have a second house or a third house even.
Right. Now, typically, how would you say that, how long could you say that most people actually stay for?
It varies. You know, every one situation is so unique and
sure.
so different. You know, we've got people who come in for just the day who have to come in for a medical exam and need a place to stay overnight kind of thing because they're traveling from so far away. Our military bases, you know, aren't always close to major cities. You know, they're, you know, an hour, two, three away or more. So that, you know, when you come in for a treatment, you need a place to stay. So that, you know, Edmonton being a hub, we've got three military bases, you know, within 5 to 10 hours away. And, of course, we've got, you know, military bases in the RCMP areas up in Nunavut, you know, who is quite far away up in the Northwest Territories, or what used to be the Northwest Territories. So, you know, it, as I said, it varies. So you can have someone coming in for just a day, and we've had people who have to come in for cancer treatment. You know, they're usually here for about 5 weeks as they go through, you know, the chemo radiation program. We've had people who had to stay here for 6 months because their child was on an organ transplant list, and they lived out of town, so they had to stay in Edmonton just to be considered on the list before the surgery even took place.
Wow.
So mom and baby stayed here, and dad kind of commuted when he could. So as
sure.
I said, you know, each person comes in for various reason, and you know, their stay can vary from one extreme to the next.
Now, is it hard for you to separate yourself from the situations that are in front of you?
No. Sometimes I know my house managers deal with more on, you know, the hands-on day-to-day stuff of the people coming in, and dealing with that. And sometimes they need to step back as well, and that's where I kind of come in to sit there as a sounding board for them. I, you know, myself dealing with people on the day-to-day level isn't as intense as theirs is. But separating myself, no. Just because of my background and stuff, I'm able to take that step back and kind of look at it in a broader picture.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think, you know, for a lot of people it's tough, though, you know, just in especially in your, you know, your line of work and your area there where you're, you know, you're helping people through a lot of things that necessarily not everyone is so willing to, you know?
Yes. Yes. Well, as I said, we don't provide treatment. We just provide the accommodations for them. But
right.
We are there for us as a support network for them as well.
Sure.
So that's best
so,
we can do.
Personally, then, what inspires you to do what you do on a daily basis, then?
I think making a difference, you know, knowing that you're helping people, that you're making a difference within society, within, you know, those that need it, kind of. It kind of gives you the warm and fuzzy feeling of, yeah, you've made a difference. Yeah, this is something
sure.
that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I know that obviously a big thing for you guys is you know raising funds, you know, and raising awareness, obviously. But what do you guys do in the community to kind of build awareness? Do you have any events coming up or anything like that that you'd like to share?
We do. We've got a Walk for Valor coming up in September, on September 11th, actually, here in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to link it with a few other cities, you know, across Alberta on that day as well. And basically, it's a walk. It's, you know, you can sign up online. We've got, if you go to our website, there's directions how to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Or even to, you know, if you're interested in starting a walk in your area for our organization, just give us a call and we'll gladly sit down and you know, work that through with you as well. And again, all the funds raised go to the Family Endowment Fund so that we can sustain the house in perpetuity.
Wow. That's very cool. Now, is this the first year you guys are doing that?
No, this is, well, we did a walk when we first opened, and then just because of us, we went through transition, this will be actually our third walk that we've done. So hopefully,
very nice.
It grows every year. So,
right,
we're aiming for a nice size group this year as well. And we work with, because we work with, you know, both the military and the RCMP and first responders. We're kind of working with them. So last year our walk started, you know, at one of the armories here in Edmonton, just down the road. And this year we're working with the RCMP, so it'll be starting at the RCMP headquarters, which are just located across the street from us. And then the walk will end up here with a barbecue and activities and games for the participants and children.
Very cool. So you guys obviously have a network that you work with too, right? I'm assuming, you know, there's other organizations that kind of help out and feed you guys a little bit too, correct?
Yeah, there's organizations and a lot of businesses kind of step up to the plate as well, you know, to lend their helping hand in where they can. We're working with the Running Room as one of the organizations, you know, to get this off the ground and help with registrations and everything else. The RCMP Veterans Association is also coming on board to help on the day of, as well as other organizations who are stepping up to the plate. And those will be listed on our website as well.
Very nice. And so what are some of the other big things that you have planned for the future of the organization?
Oh, well, that's up to the board usually, but they have been talking about, hopefully having more houses out there as well. Their big concern is, to make sure that this house isn't a burden on the community, so that, we're not, there's a lot of organizations in the community that need assistance as well. So once we can have our endowment fund in place and self-sustainable, then we can look at, extending our needs and not our needs, but our charity to other groups and getting a second house done.
That would be amazing for the group, right?
That would be awesome. Yeah, as I said, there's a lot of need out there. A lot of people kind of say, "Oh, it would be so neat." Taking the template, we've been there, done that kind of thing, and hopefully let's move on. I know there's a group out in Nova Scotia that's kind of working towards getting themselves organized and doing some fundraising and starting to build a house out there as well. So it's
very nice.
It's nice to as one person said to me, we do this not because we have to, but because we choose to. And not because we need to, but because we want to,
Mm-hmm.
And having those volunteers and that support out there is just so phenomenal.
Absolutely. And real quick, as we're winding down to the last 90 seconds of tonight's show, and again, I wish we could have you back on in the future to find out, how things have been going and see if things have been going well for you. Why don't you just
that
let people know again the best ways to contact you guys again, give them the website one more time, the phone number, and then we'll send you off, and then we'll hopefully be in touch with you down the road.
That would be wonderful. Yes, our website again is www.valourplace, valourplace.ca. Our email address, you can email us at info@valourplace, again, spelled valourplace.ca. Or our phone number, 780-455-7707.
Perfect. Thank you, Lydia. Lydia, real quick, why don't you just let people know in a short sentence the advice that you have for anyone that is in need of assistance here?
Oh, if anybody needs to if you need any assistance from us that we can, please feel free to contact us. If you need to stay here, you can contact your superior, let them know about us, and if they don't know, they can contact us, and we'll be glad to come out and do an in-house service as to what we do, how we do it, and take it from there.
Thank you so much, Lydia, for coming on tonight.
You're most welcome.
All right. Well, good luck to you and the organization. And again, we hope to hear from you soon. And from everyone here at CMC Radio, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great night, everybody.
You too. Good night.